Chai Wan, a continuation visit with Marvin and Miss Mary. This Chai Wan Wright beginning the visit with Russell this Thursday, the 24th of January, 74. Channel One Wright. And the beginning of the visit with Russell this Thursday, the 24th of January, 74. Channel One over, and a continuation visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Wednesday supper, the 19th of Wednesday, the 19th of December, 73.
Oh, goodness.
That's breakfast coffee.
Breakfast coffee.
Isn't that awful?
Something beautiful happened on the way to the moon.
What did you say that?
Something beautiful happened on the way to the moon.
Operate on?
What
does it on? Energy cell. It's one of them electronic energy cells. It tells you right there.
Well, I know, but... you have to really push. Do it the other way, I guess. I'd be afraid I'd do something to it. Well, I'll say... I want you to be able to turn it on. How did you know about it, Ms. Miles? Or did
turn it this way.
Can't hurt. Did you see that star?
Yeah. Oh, one of my friends gave it to me. I didn't see it.
And then she called back to one of her friends and found out and asked her where to get it.
Uh-huh. We have to use flashlights all the
what
time.
What do you, Moss?
At Moss. It's down in the notions department of all things. And downstairs. And in the notions. And they have them at Wilson's too.
Oh, do they?
Uh-huh. And they ran out and had to reorder it in both places.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And they had just got a new shipment. Monday at Moss's.
Well, I don't know how it'd be outdoors, but inside it would work nice. Because I don't like to go around turning on lights. I just walk around with a flashlight.
Well, I just can't imagine having a flashlight for the last 5 years.
And they said it's no damage to it for hit the light.
Mm-hmm. For most of the flashlights, you can throw it up for 6 months and its battery corrodes in it.
Yeah, you're in bad shape.
Well, we pay $5-$6 for a flashlight, and even with new batteries, they get to where they won't
That's
work.
That's right. And batteries are
That's
gone
right.
out of sight,
the,
too.
The batteries and the flashlight don't last any time.
No. I finally got one of these. That's the best one I've found.
Somebody got Marvin's when
yeah,
he got
I
the
had
beam.
One, but it was it didn't have a stand on it like that. It had
a
it
handle.
Just had a handle, you know, on it.
Yeah.
With a switch on it. When they went in the freezer, well, they got that light.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Well, now what happened to your freezer? You see, we haven't seen you.
Mm-hmm. Somebody went in there and just took everything out of
it.
Got the whole pea crop. And Rob had gave me a bushel of pepper, and they left me three little bags.
Peas and pepper and beef is what they got most of it. And I don't think they got anything else. If it was, it wasn't too much.
But they got your pea crop.
And beef.
That's right. And the beef. Left one knee bone in there.
And bell pepper. In my life.
Now that was back in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You went off somewhere.
No, well, I think we was
well,
at the captain when
it
happened. Whoever done that knew right where we was at. See, I think you have to kind of train your cows And the cows had been used to the other cow pen, and we was trying to get them used to the new cow pen. And we was gathering up calves, and I think whoever done it knew that we were down there because they could hear us hollering at the cows, you know.
Yeah. Right in the middle of the day.
Now, we never did
lock any. Afternoon.
Late?
We never did lock any doors or even lock the freezer for that.
I never had anything taken before that out of the house that I know of. And I don't know, I couldn't tell you when it was done. Marvin went in day after something or another, and he said, "Well, who in the world did you give all the peas to?" And I said, "Peas? I didn't give nobody no peas." He said, "Well, all the peas and all the meat's gone."
And that's right.
So you don't know exactly when it happened?
Don't exactly know when it happened.
Well, you know within about 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks of when it happened.
But I think we was down at the cafe when it happened.
That's your guess. Well, all this summer you've been pretty steady there at the house.
That's right.
But when one of you goes off, both of you generally go.
That's right.
So you see.
Oh, I think, now I don't know, but I think that it was the boys that worked on the house because they knew everything.
Well, it could have been that. I think so too, but then.
We don't know it.
There was another fella that knew about the freezer and everything, and he liked peas and pepper and beef too, as far as.
Yeah, he hadn't been back on the place since that happened.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you could go over at his house and get there about meal time and see what he was eating.
The trouble of it is, you don't never know when he's eating because
no,
he is a
game
warden.
He's got a game department, and he's.
Well,
if he's at home on the weekend, I guess.
Is that the kind of people they get for game wardens?
They pick up any kind of.
Really?
They don't go around looking for the leading citizens.
Well, you know, the state pays kind of cheap.
Yeah.
So they have to pick up anybody that wants to work cheap.
Well,
like, work cheap.
Like this fellow down here at the livestock market, I said, "Why, they haul a lot cheaper than that down at Mills' market." But he said, "They've got to make it up some way." He got me totally right fast. That was an awful nice rig that fella had down there at Mildred's Marty. It was small. He'd come up here with one of those little trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just haul what I wanted home, you see. Well, they'd come from town, and they'd come with a great big old ton and a half truck, at least, you see. And then I'd have to raise my chute up high and all that stuff. The darn old chute, you see, is about to bust all the pieces anyhow, you see. And I didn't want to raise it. I didn't know whether I was going to last to get these cows moved or not.
Hmm.
Oh, it has been going apart fast.
Miss Mile, have you camellias bloomed?
Some of the white ones down in the hammock.
Yeah. I bet they were pretty.
Well, just a few things.
You know, it's a thousand one if somebody around here knows stealing.
Yes.
Well, maybe they don't know, a lot of people know where they are, or they would.
Yes, sir, don't you know?
Well, Marvin, and you all are getting things over there at the place, fixed up, all your cows, everything for your cows and everything else.
No, we're not getting anything fixed up for the cows.
Oh, I thought you had a new pen or something.
Oh,
we put that in first. You just moved one, that's all.
We moved it off of the lake.
I'm getting too wet down there. people
up closer to the house.
Going in and out after the rain, it kept us
we
bogged
need a cow
up all the time.
We need one there at the house.
Oh, they've got a lot of improvements over there, Faye.
Phew. We got lots more yet to make.
Well, now that protein you have, that's about as much improvement in that line as a person could make. That's a way ahead of pellets and all.
Well, it's one thing about it, they don't walk all over it. You know, if you scatter them pellets around out in the herd, they just walk all over them and tromp them in the ground and stomp them around. They don't get by half of them.
I wondered about that.
You
have to feed them in a trough or something.
Yeah. Now, I want you to tell Faye about your friend that comes over there and helps himself. Like you told me, that's nice.
Who you talking about, though?
He just comes over your fence.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, that Brahma.
Who's that?
That's Mr. Hogan's Bramer Bull, big old bull.
Oh.
Well, he comes over when he gets ready to. Now, don't any of the rest of his cows bother.
Oh.
But he just comes to the fence and up over the gate, he comes on in, he gets himself a little syrup, maybe get him a little bite of hay, turn right around, go back home.
Hi, Miss Mary.
I said to her, why don't you and him make a little deal? He don't have enough animals, you see, to keep a bull busy like that, and you can just use that. You know what you said? Wasn't any use bringing that up. They'd already made it.
the bull made the deal.
And he's so wise. He's got so much sense.
Gentle.
He's in the field there, he'll stand up and he'll look at us. And if we're going to load a yearling or something, he just goes right straight home and stands over the fence and looks at us.
Put the trailer on the back of that truck and he'll go home.
Really?
Stand on his side and watch you. See what you're doing. If you go out there with some feed without the trailer in the pasture, why, he'll stay out there and help him eat it.
If I had the money, I'd lay it down that there ain't a bull in Lotchaway County can whip him.
I don't believe so.
Oh, your bull.
No, my bull. I ain't got no bull could whip him.
Well, he tried.
He tried, but he didn't. Oh, shucks. That weren't nothing but a...
What's the matter, miss? Just the wrong number.
He wanted to. But that bull just stood right up, and when that bull come, all he'd do is get his nose and just knock him so fertile.
He just stand up there casual like.
Just stand up there and they not do a thing, and he whipped our bull till he couldn't hardly get to the house.
He won't take a fight.
Why, Miss Mary? what kind of bull is it?
He's a Bramer.
He's a 5-1 too. Yeah.
He's a Bramer.
Yeah. Oh. Not too good. How are you?
Well, of all things. What? He just jumps the fence?
Yes, ma'am. And you know those aluminum gates there at the house?
Yeah.
Well, Marvin was picking up some cows there, and he went in. And he stood around and looked, and after a while he decided he wanted to go outside, so he just jumped the aluminum gate there and went on by the loop.
Well, I'll be here in the morning. What time coming?
Just cleared that gate.
That's right.
Okay, I'll see you.
Marvin and Curtis and Lebanon.
What's that?
I can't believe it. I never saw a bull do that. I never saw a cow do it.
All right.
Isn't that you?
Okay.
Well, you don't need to buy that bull.
No, I couldn't. If he wanted to get rid of him, I couldn't buy him because if he, the only reason why he would want to get rid of him is to keep from inbreeding, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't buy him because he would, he'd just go over there when he got ready.
That's right. You didn't.
But you know, he don't go in the woods. He don't go anywhere. He just comes over to our place.
The fence can be tore down, just one little old strand of one. And he don't pretend like he wants to get on the outside. He just comes over there at home and feeds around with our cows. And used to, in pea time, when we'd go to the field, you know, and gather peas, he'd go to the gate and lie down and wait till we'd come out. Zane says, "Now, if you he bothers you all, you all don't want him over there, I'll move him." I said, "He ain't bothering us. Let him alone. I don't care if him going over there, and I don't care if him eating. We feed him. We buy pellets. I got him to where he'd come up and eat out of my hand, and I could rub his old forehead."
Is that right?
That's right. And Marvin and Zane was worried, you know, when he had to test his cows. He said he thought he'd get the vet to give him a tranquilizer. Marvin said the old bull went and lay down in the corner of the pen, and when they got through, Zane went and put the halter on him, and the vet went up there and tested him, and him lying down. He acts just like somebody, I'm telling you, he does.
I wish I could see him jump that aluminum fence.
He's just been handled, hasn't he? He brought up handled.
He had to be.
Yeah.
Zane said when he bought him, I don't know who he bought him from. Said he was a little bit afraid to haul him. He had his trailer there. The trailer was all right. There wasn't nothing wrong with the trailer. But said he just knowed he's going to tear it all to pieces. And said when he got it, the boy put the halter on him, laid him up in the trailer, and shut the gate on him. Said he stood there till he got ready to go, and said when Zane said whenever he started the truck off with the trailer behind it, he looked back and he seen the bull lay down. He just lay down all the way home. Got home, he opened the gate, and the bull got up and went up. So you can't beat that.
You can't beat that.
I mean, there's no walking, no milling around. And you just lay down straight, still. Get to where he's going.
He is the best nature to do the thing. He is.
And that kind of bull,
well,
I wouldn't think so.
No.
I wouldn't think so either.
Oh, they
all just
the
same. As nice.
Yeah, it depends on that.
You
know,
and he don't even attempt. Now, when we had our bulls there at the house, he'd come and he'd be over there on his side minding his own business. And our bull would go to the fence and just beller and paw and pick at him. And after a while, he'd just, "Well, I'm going to show him I'm not scared of him." And he'd come over there, you know, and stand up and look at our bull. And our bull would run into him, and he wouldn't do a thing to anyone but just throw him just wherever he wanted.
All he got to do is just sling his head and he just knock him around.
It's
like
easy,
that.
Like.
Yeah. He didn't want to hurt him.
And our bull would, you know, get mad and back off, and he'd run into him again, you know.
Oh,
and
try
to whip him, and he wouldn't do a thing but just take his nose and just stand up.
What he'd do, he'd just stand there and let
set him over yonder on the other side.
Let the Well, the bull wear himself out. He just stand up there and knock him around a little bit. And just like this.
Our old bull would just be
war
slap the dab out and be so mad. And he'd be standing up there just as
thing you could do about
he hadn't done a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that one bull I had. He just couldn't stay away from these fences. He wasn't a fighter. He just couldn't stay away from the fences. And I remember once or twice the black bull would come through all them fences in. And I remember when I went down there one morning, and they'd been down there all night. And that black bull was out, was just walking around grazing. And my bull was, he could hardly stand up.
Hmm.
And he was dirty. You know how the face gets dirty?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had that white face. And he had just had the worst of it all night long. But the other bull didn't seem to...
And they wore him too bad.
He didn't seem to be put out or anything. It was just... he didn't seem to be mad or want to hurt him.
He just wanted to keep from getting hurt.
Well, I just bet there ain't a bull in the state of Florida could whip him.
You think not?
I don't believe it. I'd have to see him get a whipping before.
Oh, his old horns is that big.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you they're bigger than that.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That big.
Hmm?
Oh, that's, yeah, he, I forgot he had horns.
Now, he don't use them. He just take his head and turn it like that and just use them as a fram pole.
I tell you what I seen him do. I seen him, not the bull that we bought from the Smith, but the one we bought, a black one from Zane. And Lilybell was at the house.
No, that wasn't the same bull. That was that other bull we got from Zephyr Hills, wasn't it?
No, it was the bull that we got from Zane. It may be so, but anyway, I seen that bull down there. He'd whirl around, and I said, "Little Bell, what's wrong with that bull down there? Is he hung up in the fence?" She said, "Yeah, I believe he is." And I couldn't see my bull. We got in the truck and went down there, and you might not believe it, but he was just standing up straddle of my little old black bull. And he had whipped him. The black bull had fought him, you know. And he'd just stand up and he'd just turn around and knock him wherever he wanted to.
And
it was that Hogan's bull.
Careless like.
Mm-hmm. Marvin got the whip and went down there one Sunday evening. Our bull had tore the fence down and went over there on Hogan's side. And
that's one we got.
The Hogan's bull had to beat the socks off of him. And our old bull was standing up there with his tongue hung out. He wanted to get back home so bad he didn't know what to do. And you know, the Hogan's bull was standing up there. He hadn't done a thing in the world. He hadn't done nothing.
But Joe Bull was in a hurry to get home.
He was in a hurry to get home.
And you had to hold the fence for him? You had to hold the fence down for him.
But this other bull just doesn't mind. He just jumps back and forth.
He just comes whenever he gets ready.
He's got one little place where he comes over.
Goes and gets him a little syrup, maybe pick him up a mouthful of hay, and go right back home.
He got plenty to eat over that way.
Oh,
he is,
no, sir.
Zane was talking about him the other day about when he finds a place where he wants to come in, he'll come in there. And no other place will do that. It's got to be that place.
Same place. He don't tear up no fence.
He's doing that to Zane on that grass he got behind the barn out there. And he had one certain place. So Zane, he kept building it up. He'd go over it. And the fence wasn't that high in other place. And there it was as high as that thing there. And that's just that one place he had to go over. He wouldn't go to the side.
Can you imagine him jumping that big aluminum gate that time?
No, it was a...
He stood flat-footed and done that.
About 6 foot. About a 6 foot gate. I mean, the way I got it fixed from the ground, it's 48 inches high, and then I got it about 2 feet off of the ground.
I don't believe that you could build a fence. You might build a wall that'll hold him. And I don't believe that there's any bull can whip him.
Because he just don't get excited.
He don't get mad, and he don't get excited. He just takes care of himself.
Yeah. He don't even have to hook him.
And you know, one day Marvin's bull The Smith bull, he got to picking at him. Marvin turned our bull out into our pasture, out the pen. He went down there to the water hole and he picked at him. And so, after a while, Zane's bull, he decided, well, I'm going over there and I'm going to show him I ain't scared to go over the gate. He went over there and he run into the bull, and the bull, he wouldn't do nothing but just stand there and just knock him out of his way, you know. Just Marvin got the cow whip and went down there and drove our bull, put him in the cow pen, gave him some feed. Zane's bull followed him up there and jumped the fence and went and eat his feed up. And he, when he got through eating his feed, Marvin opened the gate and he went on by his business. And our old bull was so mad he didn't know what to do, but he knew there wasn't nothing he could do about it.
I never heard of anything like that.
That's right.
And he comes over every day.
Every day.
Yeah, he's over there about three times today.
He just comes and stays a little while, and if there's any work over there for him to do, well, he does it and he goes on back home.
He comes over there and lets you know that.
He's got every cow we got over there fixed up.
You don't shoot on either bull.
Have you ever seen that heifer that from him that we got?
No.
Oh, she is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Zany just wants her so bad he don't know what to do. I say, oh, Zany, you know you don't want my heifer. But she sure is fine.
Yeah. And she takes after him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's her papa.
Well, Zane likes that that Brahma breed.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Well, he's trying to get a crossbreed. And them Angus and that Brahma.
Oh, I see.
You know, some big cows. They make big cows. That Brahma makes a fine cow.
Yeah. Oh,
but I don't see how in the world anybody could kill an old bull like that.
No.
It worries Zane. Now, if you all get tired of him, just let me know and I'll haul him away from here. I don't want him to bother you. Well, he don't bother us.
No. I just keep a few more cows up there. There's a lot of difference in bulls. I never realized that till I got this last one. I told you that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, Marvin, he moved.
Mm-hmm.
When he came up here, I tried to hold something out there, and he would cut through me before I could see Jack Robinson. Well, he got so he wouldn't, wasn't bad about it, but if he wanted to, he could. And I'm telling you, I had two or three cows that just wouldn't breed. But I'm telling you, they didn't have any trouble breeding after he got here.
Oh, he's the best one.
No. None of them did. Not a one of them.
Hmm.
That's the truth. I never realized it. You know, all sorts of things happen over there. You didn't see that fella that got to going so fast and run off the road down there, hit that telephone light pole.
No, sir, I didn't see it.
Didn't see him when he hit it, no. But I saw him. I was down there and went down there shortly afterwards.
Oh, you heard him?
No, we just, Ms. Dodd called us and told us.
Mr. Dodd, Ms. Dodd said that Mr. Dodd
called her and told us the fence was down, that we ought to go down and fix it.
But we seen the man, he was running around there hunting his dog.
I was down there when he was pulling his car out of
the
woods.
He had a Great Dane in the car and he took off.
The dog put a got a move on.
And Marvin was down the road there where he tore up the fence. Marvin was fixing the fence. He was running up and down the road hunting his dog. We thought he'd gone home. Marvin looked at the road and said, yonder comes his dog. Marvin went down there and done everything in the world he could to get the old dog to come to him. No, sir, he weren't coming up there.
About to come in there where he had that wreck. He might have another one.
What you reckon he saw happen?
I know from the way you say it, he got more sense than the boy, the man.
He said, "I fly anymore." Oh, he said he was out for a little bit. He said the dog took off. I don't see how in the world they could have come out alive. Did you see where he cut that pole into?
No.
He cut that pole, that light pole into, tore up three strands of fence, tore his car up.
Well, now, that wasn't on your side.
Yes, sir.
Well, now, Ms. Dodd's telephone went out.
The lights.
It was down there,
well,
just
the
same time.
They got the lights on, but her telephone was
is
out.
Is that right?
Yeah. They didn't get the telephone back on for several days.
Well, the wreck didn't have nothing to do with the telephone, did it?
That's what she told me.
Uh-uh.
It shouldn't, because that's on the ground cable down there.
Yes.
No, that wreck didn't have a thing to do with it, because you see, it ain't connected to the electricity.
No, but I didn't think about it, but I just figured it'd cloud up the ground or something.
Because
that cable's about that deep under the ground.
Yeah, car left that road and plowed up the ground out there in the woods.
About two feet under the ground.
Yeah. Well, that ought to car kept.
No, it couldn't do that. No, I don't think. I think what happened to her telephone is what happens to ours and a lot of other people. It just it's automatic. Deal at Mekinopi, you know, they got an automatic, what do they call it, switchboard or something or other out there that lets it in and out. I think the points get stuck or something.
One thing that hole down that river stick filled up with water.
Yeah.
Where that underground cable was buried.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Get some little moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so you were down there trying to fix your fence.
Mm-hmm.
So you all just drove down there.
We went down there after he had the wreck to fix the fence where he tore it up.
Did you hear him?
Hear the wreck? No, sir. I guess that happened about 5 o'clock in the morning.
No. 6:30. I think he said around 6:30. I talked to the guy. Well, when he's pulling his car out of the woods down there. The director I talked to him, he said about 6:30 that morning.
Yeah. And he was there all that time.
Well, about 7:30, yeah, about an hour, I guess I was down there within an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, you found him?
Oh, no, Mr. Dodd or somebody found him and called, and then Ms. Dodd called me. And he said the fence was down, you know, it tore up the fence, the cows might get out, so I just beat it right on down there, because I didn't want the cows getting out.
And you weren't with him?
She wasn't with him at that particular time. I went down there to see how bad it was and everything, so I'd know what, you know, to care down
there,
so I come back.
He came to the house and I went down there later.
I come back and get some posts and stuff to fix the fence with.
And that's when you saw the dog.
That's right.
And he still wouldn't.
No, sir, he wouldn't have come nowhere near about us.
big dog.
A big Dane. Great Dane.
And the man got out of it without a scratch.
And the dog did too.
And they cut the telephone post off.
They sure did. If you don't believe it, you go down there and look where they cut it.
Well, I can't imagine it.
I can't either. Go down there and look at the telephone pole. It's lying down there. Marvin got the top part because electric people give it to him to fix the fence with. But the bottom part of it's lying right down there where he knocked it up.
Yeah.
And how in the world anybody can do that in another world?
Well, it wasn't a telephone, it was a light.
Right.
Well,
light
I mean
pole,
a light
it was one of them old big poles, you know.
One of the big ones.
Mm.
And it cut it off or pulled it up? Or?
No, it cut it right off, even with the ground.
I don't see I did it, Mom.
Or broke it off.
I don't either.
It did it, though.
Broke it off? Well, those things must be brittle.
Well, it's just like hitting a pine tree. That's what it was, a pine pole.
Yeah.
Pine log.
And think how long far in the ground it was.
Yeah, it was, the whole had them things was what, about 8 feet in the ground.
Yeah.
More things happen on your old road.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I didn't even know you had that fence up.
Mm. Oh, the gate. Yeah, the yard.
Yeah,
yeah, we got.
We had to do that on account of
the
dogs,
and they still.
There's a man and her living it, a woman living it across the creek, and she's got a. What do you call?
Well, that boy's afflicted somehow.
There's something wrong with him, and
right.
They go come by the house on the motorcycle, on the bicycles, and he's singing. And the dogs runs out there to him. And follows them up and down the road, and I'm scared that they'd run out there and cause one of them to fall off.
Well,
and people is just
thing.
Ready to sue you. And I don't like the yard fence up there, but then we had to get rid of the dogs or else get a fence.
Well, now, how do you manage that gate every time you go out?
Just about.
You gotta get out and open that gate.
That's right.
Well, I don't mind it myself, cause I just figure like this, you know, I got plenty of time. But I just hate people, you know, have to come up then park out then have to open the gate and close. So I just holler and tell them leave it open till they go back out.
Yeah. Dog's not gonna bother anybody as long as people are.
No, I don't think so.
Well.
The main thing is. Them dogs is while we're gone, and then hunting season and people walking, you know, back into up and down the road.
Yeah. Well, I sort of like the fence.
Yeah, I look cool.
I think you got some protection.
Well, the cattle got pulled dogs?
No, sir.
They just walk over.
You know who came to see us the other day?
Jack.
Rob Woods' son and his wife.
Oh, yeah, Billy Woods.
Hmm. His name Billy?
Mm.
I wouldn't even know him if I was him.
He lives down there at Evanston.
He lives on his daddy's place, doesn't he? In his house, his daddy's house.
Yeah.
You know, Marvin, we got to go so these people
yeah,
can go to bed.
Is the,
I'm just settled back.
Is he the one that keeps the store? At
Flemington or somewhere, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's some advantage in having a store.
Yeah, they seem like Friday.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Some advantage
yeah.
in it.
I wish we even knew somebody who had a store we could buy through.
Mm.
Be nice.
I used to threaten to go in with somebody on one of the stores, and you know, the more I thought about it, there's so much work about a store. You got so much of that bookkeeping.
Too much inventory.
Too much inventory. And, put in one day a month taking inventory or more.
No, they'd take more than that, because that's no more than what we had out yonder at the university. Once a year, I had to take inventory out there, and it took me about 3 days.
Neighbors.
And we didn't have anything.
Yeah.
But,
just
I mean.
Just as soon as Jim Water can get them out
there. There would be something missing. Well, you got to go find it. You can't set down a bunch of numbers on something that ain't there.
Now,
then
what's
you know.
That? Yeah.
Hmm.
Now, what's that about Jim Water?
Just as soon as Jim Water can get them a house built, they're going to be with us.
Oh, Jack and Lois, that's neighbors.
Who?
Jack and Lois.
Wells. Marlander.
Are they going to be close?
You know that little shack down there between Hogan's and Miss Rickerson. They own a half an acre in there.
Right there, right down the end of our property on West End.
Well, isn't that going to be pretty nice for you?
I think so.
Be somebody close.
Well, we know the people pretty good.
Lois is a good girl.
Just as nice as it can be.
No, she was Marvin's baby brother's wife. And he was so sorry she had to leave.
So they're not going to have a trailer, they're going to have a house.
Mm. That's right.
Well, see, that place there was zoned for dwelling, for houses.
Yeah.
And it would have to be rezoned. Well, it'd take a while for that. And then you don't know who's going to kick on them trying to rezone it for him to put a trailer in there. So he decided, after he put in for the trailer, well, he decided, well, he'd go ahead and build a house. That's the easiest way out.
Yeah.
And not too much more expense, some, but not too much. And
well, you know, these trailers are spoiled. See, you've got everything built in.
Mm.
And it's all there at the minute you pay make your payment. And I don't care how you build a house, you still got to mess around with a whole lot of...
That's right.
Things.
And you have a window where a door ought to be, or a door where you ought to have a window.
Yes.
Well, that's just the way that house of ours.
Well, any of them is that way, just about. I mean... You go in a place and say, well, if there's a door here and a window here, I could put something under the window. But like it is, it's a door there, and you can't stop up the door, so you're just in trouble.
Well, are you locking up now?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, we lock the doors when we go in.
Yes, sir.
You just started that since they got your pea crop.
And people are so mean.
Of course, anybody wanted to go in the house, that wouldn't stop them.
When that
Carol
was
out
String Beans and his wife.
The comedian.
What's that?
String
yeah.
Beans.
Yeah. Well, it just... But if you've got this couple fairly close, that ought to... You've never had anybody that you could even wave to.
That's right.
You won't... It'll be a lot better. That's good. And they're going to build as soon as they can.
Yeah, well, they've already come down and staked off the house and intended to every bit of it except Jim Walter's supposed to build it. And
well, the man's got to come out there.
They're not
going to
finish it inside. Jack said he was going to do that himself. He
and Lawrence. Well, he is a licensed plumber. He's a plumber
just
for the state of Florida.
Shell
I mean, not
build
him
a shell.
He has license to plumb anywhere in the state.
Well, that's mighty fine, the idea of it, but it takes, that's a whole lot of work after you get your shell.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
Well, they're both
work.
Young people, and if it had been me, I'd have had it finished. But you know.
Yeah, for $1,000 more, he could have had it finished on the inside.
I don't know what he could have done.
Yeah, he could have.
That's a big house, a three bedroom.
No, it's a big house, but $1,000 when you're dealing in a house goes a long ways. You say, well, the house is going to cost me $5,000 or $10,000. And say, well, I'll give you $11,000, go ahead and finish it. And there ain't many people that wouldn't do it.
That's right.
The, Now, I haven't kept up with this market. But you said, this market up here just stayed home an hour one Wednesday.
No.
Wednesday was a week ago.
I told you that
today
Mr. Hogan's called up there. He had to carry his cows, get rid of his cows.
Yeah.
And they said that they was open then, but in another hour they would be closed and they didn't know when they'd open again.
And that was about noon. They stayed up about an hour.
And he called the packing places and they were all closed.
They're all the packing companies closed up. Except for this day, you know, that They got to have it regular.
Anything's getting critical?
Well, I never heard of the stock market.
I never have either.
Closed.
Never
but
well,
said there wasn't any
buyers
and wasn't no cattle to buy.
But they opened last Monday. He said that he might open and he might not, but they did and they didn't have enough hardly to open up for. And what they had that was so cheap. This fella down here making open.
Oh, that gas station.
Oh, yeah, I don't know him. What does he know about those things?
Well, he's dabbles in a few yearlings once in a while. He'll buy up a few and put them on his pasture. He's got a little old pasture somewhere and fatten them out and sell them.
Oh, I see.
You know, I'm afraid to go anywhere and go home at night.
Yeah.
Well, that is getting bad, isn't it?
It is. But I'm just that scared.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid to go home at night.
Now these and the price of the cows, it just keeps on going down.
Just keeps on going down.
Well, what's happening to all of them?
The
packers. I think I can tell you what's happening, a whole lot of it. The stores is plumb full of high priced meat. The price of steak in the grocery store hasn't come down too much. All right, people have quit buying it, just about quit buying it, because they can buy chicken and turkey and other meats, cheap fish, cheaper than they can beef. The packers have bought to lift, got the house, packing houses plumb full of meat, nowhere to put it. So, the grocery stores the meat markets can't sell out because it's so high, and because they bought meat when it was high, beef was high, they got to get a good price for it to break even. Well, they're not selling any to the consumer, so the packers, he can't sell to the market until he gets rid of some of his.
Yeah. So. You know, you never could have told me that people would let up on buying that beef like that.
Well, they just about had to. The price, you know, you get paying $1.79 and 98 cents a pound for beef. That's rough.
Yes, sir.
And
if you've got a family, a pound don't go far.
And they don't knock very much of that bone out of it either at that price.
Yeah.
And you sure can't eat that bone.
So it's all on the line. The packing house is closed.
Yeah.
And the buyers don't go.
But you sold some of yours on that good market.
Oh, yes.
We got.
Yes, ma'am. We did.
Pretty good.
If you just known it, you could sold a few more then, couldn't you?
That's right.
Oh, they'll go back up again along February and March. But who's going to have any ready to go except for feedlots?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Miss Dodd is really hurting right now.
I bet you she is.
And it's not the cows that bothers her so much as it's the feed.
And that price of that feed's not coming down because it's a scarcity of feed.
I talked to her on the telephone last time I was in town. And I said, now you still think steer starter, this feed you buy from Brownlee is the best? Yes, she says. It's always fresh. And they get better growth out of it. And, but I said, well, that's $6. Yes, she said. And then she thought, she says it was $6. But it's $6.40 now.
What do you pay for it?
I paid $7 out there making open last week. Last Saturday.
I thought you said he was cheaper.
He's been cheaper. Well, I don't know much. Well, you can get it cheaper than that by the ton out here. But I imagine they're getting ton prices from Brownlee.
No. Well, they just buy a few bags.
No, no, but I imagine that they get ton prices because, you know, they always would do us that way a lot.
Oh, would they?
You get, it's not a whole lot cheaper. So.
Well, it's noticeable.
Them people got many $1,000 out of us.
Yeah.
For feed.
Yeah.
It sure does take something to feed a bunch of cows. Golly.
That's $6. That's what I pay Seminole now for that pellet stuff.
Well, how come Miss Dodge, you reckon, to take a notion that she wanted to sell all of her cows and buy some more?
She sold off all the poor ones she could and kept the best ones, and then she just took these on.
She got fine prices for those poor ones.
Yeah.
She really did.
I don't know how she does it, but she sure gets money for them. Cows. I wouldn't be able to sell them on the livestock market. Some of them she gets premium prices for. You know that? Well,
I can't do it.
You couldn't sell a person that. They just got to come up there and sell themselves. And furthermore, they pay the money. I used to put notices in. They'd come out here. Well, they want to get my cows, my best calves. They'd want to get them for Woods cattle price.
Mm-hmm.
And then just owe me. Just make payments along.
Well, you know, you can think about this thing. You know, Ms. Dodd hasn't had any pasture, you might say, all the summer.
Yeah.
Mm. And people would go up there and she'd talk about them being good cows. They're just thin. Well, they'd look over the pasture. Well, they got to be good cows because they ain't getting nothing to eat.
Yeah.
So that would sell a lot of them, you know. We can get them, we can feed them.
Yeah.
So.
But the prices they pay,
don't you suppose we better get it?
Yeah, we've got to go.
Well, I tell you what, it sure has been a long time. You know, when I talked to you in the summer and we said something about a little visit, I said, don't come over here. It's the hottest damn house I've been in.
Well, it was hot everywhere this summer.
Well,
it was terrible.
Let me tell you, you'd get that old dead air in it, and you couldn't get it out. You see, my fans wouldn't take it out. If I'd had one of them old attic fans like people used to have, I could have changed the air, say, at night. Dr. Van Arnhem come out there one day, and it's sprinkling rain. And he come over to visit a while, and I says, you can't go in there. It's just inhuman. The reason I'm standing out here in the rain. Well, I know what he thought, that I just was not hospitable, but it was the same thing I told you. And I just simply wasn't going to come in here and sit down for an hour and talk to him and that old dead air.
We couldn't get
now he could stay out there as long as he wanted to.
We couldn't get the dead air out of the house all summer. I don't know what it was. It was the hottest.
Oh, it was.
It wasn't so that you'd burn up in the house. It was just you couldn't breathe.
Oh, it's just close. Just close. I kept those old fans on all the time. They run low.
You know, we'd come over to your house and we'd say, goodness.
Yeah.
Sure does feel
good. Your place.
You had a breeze running through there. I don't know. What happened? First time.
Well, I'll tell you, it was hot over there.
Well, let me tell you. If Faye hadn't been over there, she don't know. You've even got your back porch pretty well taken care of now.
Oh, yeah.
Got it closed in.
Yes, ma'am.
Sealed on top.
And that naturally does make a difference in the kitchen and dining room.
Huh?
It makes a difference in the kitchen and dining room.
Just to have that back porch.
Yes, sir. In the wintertime, it does.
See, it was wide open when you opened the door to go out there and get some wood to go in the stove. Why, it let all the cold air in. Now it's cut off.
Inside the house.
We're going to put our deep freeze out there.
Uh-huh.
On the back porch.
And lock it up.
That's right. We're going to keep it locked up from now on.
Well, that didn't cost you so much to learn your lesson.
That's right.
I mean, it could have cost you more.
Well, you figure meat at $1.50 a pound. Now, I don't know how many pounds you got. Not very many, but I'm adding about $25 worth of meat.
You reckon?
Yeah. Plus, well, at that time that went, meat was high. Right now, it wouldn't be enough. I mean, if you could slaughter it yourself.
Well, now, that door into your kitchen lets the cool air.
I know, but we don't use that, see. We don't go in and out that so much. When it's real cold,
you go around.
Mm-hmm.
You go around through the porch.
That's right.
But I got to do some sealing on the west side of that kitchen. That door, there's a crack up there about that wide between the door.
Well, suppose you get busy and do it tomorrow.
No, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Well, it's a minor job compared to a lot of them things you've done.
You need to fix that there door in that front room.
Put some more, I need some more pasting boards for that kitchen door, actually.
Well, now, what did you finish your porch with?
Well, we paneled it off, with regular wall paneling.
Yeah.
And then I used 3/8 plywood, exterior ply in the top for the ceiling. And then I put them, what was it?
Left my hook still winders. Hanging down.
I put winders all the way around.
My meat hooks. It don't look so good, but I know I got to use them.
And little 28-inch winders. I put them all the way around the porch on the outside,
mm-hmm.
up high,
uh-huh.
waist high.
Mm-hmm.
See, what was it? 4 of them, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
But is that all around or just on the east side?
On the porch, it's on the east and north side.
Both sides. And
Heavenly colored people down here got a nice church.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure
have. I haven't been in it.
Well, I haven't either, but we just came by there a while ago and I saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked nice.
Yeah, I told Marvin I'd meet the white people.
It sure did. It does.
Well, that's the one high-class colored community in that church down there. They've got the carpenters and masons and all. The Gill boys are in that church.
Mm-hmm.
And the preacher himself can do all those things.
But I understand that the Gill boys' daddy, he's a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, he's moved out there to.
He belongs to Micanopy out here.
Yeah.
Kingdom Soul, I think.
He used to belong up here, you see.
Yeah, but I think he changed his denomination. Somebody told me.
Well, it was
Woodard
said
he'd
been up there trying to get him to go down there to the
kingdom. Oh, he'd been after Woodard. I'm telling you, they don't leave a stone unturned, do they?
Does Woodard get pretty upset when Miss Annie's sick?
I think so.
He got them to take Miss Annie to the doctor.
Yeah.
Well, it's been quite a while ago.
Marvin, have you got your bathroom under control now?
Just about.
It don't leak anymore?
No.
Well, what in the world happened?
We had them to re-top it.
You did?
Hmm. Re-top what?
The bathroom. They come out there and tore that old top, the top that they put up there.
But they didn't fix the bathroom, like they promised.
And I kept after them until they come out there and put the top on it like it should go on there.
On the bathroom?
Yes.
And that way it don't leak.
That's right.
The man told me, he says, it cost me $350. I told him, I said, that's
didn't
just
cost
too
him
bad.
Nothing. It cost, it cost six Robux, I imagine, because they should have got somebody that knowed what they'd done when they had it the house top to start with. Just picking
up anybody. Oh, them usually sorriest people do. I don't want nothing else than God.
I don't know. They handle some pretty good appliances.
You mean you don't want anything serious as God?
No, ma'am.
Well, your stove's holding up all right.
The wood stove?
No,
oh,
your front room.
Oh, I didn't get that from them. I got that from Mike Duff.
I would have sworn you got that from Sears.
Oh, no, I got it from Mike Duff.
Well, Mike Duff don't have any service. Sears got service.
Well, you can't get it.
You can on stoves.
Well, his sister had one from Sears Roebuck, and they wouldn't do nothing about it.
Is that right?
That's right. Ella May. She went to Mike Duff's and got her one just like ours, a Siegler.
After you got yours?
She just got it yesterday.
She had a Kenmore.
Don't think that they'll do anything on your stove, huh? No.
Is that right?
They won't do nothing.
They will. They might if you got that big paid guarantee, you know. You pay for some kind of insurance, 3 or 4 year insurance.
Yeah.
And you can do it with any company, Mike Duff or Sears Roebuck or anybody else. And that's, they'll take care of it then.
You reckon it should be arranging tomorrow?
Well, now,
probably.
I hope so. I hope so. Now, that stove will heat your house and mine too.
What's that?
Yours.
It's a pretty good stove, I tell you.
That's a good stove.
I think it's, what is it, 90,000 BTU.
Good Lord. Good Lord. Now, what I need is one that'll just heat these two rooms. What would I get for that, Marvin?
$60,000 would do that.
You could go up there and find out.
They didn't tell you this. That man, if you went to Mac Duff's and probably anywhere else, as far as that matters, you could tell him what you want to heat.
Bangkok sells about, so does yeah,
about what you want to heat, and they'll determine, and they'll tell you about what size heater you need. I don't think they'll try to steer you wrong on a heat, you know, proposition.
Mm-hmm. You reckon the price just keeps going up on those things?
Yes.
I think so, yes.
Well, you all were lucked out when you got it, when you did, I think. And your car, too.
Well, I wouldn't take pretty from my old Ford now.
And you were cussing on that thing, fussing on that thing.
Getting rid of it this summer.
Yeah, that's when you were sort of complaining about it.
Yeah.
Well, we got it broke in now. It does all right.
Who works on it for you?
We don't let anybody fool with it, with that. We just have to. Now, her brother put plugs in it.
Yeah.
And that's all that's ever been anything done to it.
Well, if you could just take a little trip over there and have dinner with them and let them work on your car, that'd be a problem.
Well, if I needed him and I couldn't get over there in the car.
You come.
He'd come.
He's come.
All
out
I got to do
times,
is to call him and he'll come.
Well, you can put on some. You can put your turnips on and tell him to come on over and have some turnips.
I don't think he eats turnips.
No, he wouldn't eat turnips.
He'd eat something that you cook.
You know, he don't eat enough to keep a bird alive. Don't look to me like.
Your brother?
Yes, ma'am.
He's about to light his cedar, I believe I was. So. He likes his coffee and outside that one.
Huh.
He don't eat too much more.
How's your policeman?
Oh, Curtis, he was at the house
yesterday and left his. He just got a brand new Pontiac.
Yeah.
He left it parked out there at the gate and he stayed all the evening. He went in the woods with Marvin and everybody come by thought that the law was up there on me.
You know, that sheriff's car sat out there at the gate and people don't know him, just wonders, you know.
What is he doing?
What's them people done? Or what's somebody done to them people or something?
told him, I said, everybody passed you. I thought that the law was after me. He said, well, grandma, I don't care.
Well, another way to look at it is, as long as that car's sitting there, you know somebody's not going to come doing anything about you.
And it sat there all afternoon. He went in the woods one morning and left it sitting out there.
Hey, where's the sack? I want to send some of these people.
They won't eat them.
No. Marvin don't eat them, and I got some of
them. She's got some. She doesn't.
Well, you can make pies with them.
No, don't give me none. I won't have to make no pies.
And
no
salad.
Well, thank you.
Well, now, that's what I brought them in here for. It was to give them to you if you want them.
Well, I got some, Mr. Marvin. I bought some the other day, and I baked them and put them in the deep freeze.
Oh, did you?
Well, thank you just the same.
Well, let me tell you, don't buy them anymore. Just let me know, and I'll bring these over.
Okay.
Except you could take them now, and I'd save me a trip.
Now, you stay in here.
John went over around 1500. The end of the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Wednesday at supper, the 19th of December, 73. Child went over around 1500, and the end of the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Wednesday at supper, the 19th of December, 73. Channel went over, and the end of the visit Channel went over around 1500, the end of the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Wednesday at supper, the 19th of December, 73. Now, it's around 1500, and it's Tuesday the 5th of March, 74, and the beginning of a little telephone talk I had about 15 minutes with Miss Mary this Tuesday the 5th of March, 74. Channel one over, around 1500.
Hello.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to
you. Well, we've been over here. I've been over here feeling sorry for myself all day, trying to get over there and see where you put the stove.
It's out on the back porch.
Yeah. I just can't picture.
It's out on the back porch. I'm not going to put it in the yard.
Yeah.
I might put it back in the kitchen, you know, when we get everything done.
Yeah. And you're still working on it?
Oh, we got a little trim work. You know, around in the corners and around the baseboards.
Yeah. You got your water heater moved.
Yeah, And we got that moved out on the back porch by the washing machine.
Well, that's where it ought to be anyhow, isn't it?
Why, sure it is. And we got some things yet to do, but we can live now.
You think you can get in your house? And
oh, yeah. We've had everything in such a mess, but we've about got it under control now.
Well, Marvin had some help yesterday.
Curtis?
Yes.
Well, Curtis helped him with the kitchen. I want you to see what a job he's done. The first time he and the man come out this morning that sold me the sink and the cabinet.
Yeah.
He said he was going to come out and look at it and see what kind of, and he said that was an expert job.
Oh, really?
Sure did. He said that was a good job.
I didn't know Curtis was a cop.
I didn't either. But he's an electrician, and he can build anything, and he can just do most anything.
Well, gee whiz. And you didn't even know he could do all that?
No, but he's put wired my house. He's put me in some new plugs for my blender and my mixer, and he put me a fan over my stove.
Oh yes, that would help.
Uh-huh. He said that would take out all that old grease and odor, you know.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't settle in my kitchen.
Yeah.
I even got a new top in my.
A new what?
They put a new top in it, in the kitchen.
A new top?
Uh-huh.
You mean ceiling?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they redone it all over. New flooring.
Gee whiz. Gee whiz. Oh, I wouldn't have nerve enough. I'd have to work
I
up.
I wouldn't either no more. I couldn't start it. I wouldn't start that. I'd buy me a trailer before I'd go through that again.
Oh, you just got into it little by little.
Mm-hmm.
And first thing you know, you had the floor all tore up and everything.
Well, you know in there where my sink was sitting?
Sure.
I got the sink from Sears Roebuck and the thing always leaked.
Yeah.
And it ruined my house, the flooring, and they had to cut out the flooring and put new flooring in.
Yeah.
And I needed a new sill, and we done that while we were doing.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't know, you didn't know, you
no.
didn't. You were in worse shape.
Maybe it weren't a sill. Maybe it was a floor joist or something.
Yeah.
It was the thing that you nailed a flooring down on.
Yeah. Well, you were in worse shape than you thought you were then.
Yes, I was. I sure was.
Well, I just got to thinking over there, you all just fixing up and everything, and then you sit down and have good food to eat.
And I get up and I walk all night long and worry about things.
Yeah. But you at least do it on a good food.
Now, you need to say nothing. You all have good food, too.
Let me tell you. I have found some turnip greens, some brand spanking fresh turnip greens, and they're plentiful.
You did?
Yes, sir. And you couldn't guess in a month of Sundays where I found them.
Between here and Oakham.
Between here and across the road from my place over there.
Sure.
Yes,
sure.
Sir. Yes, sir. Old Bob Becker has got that planted, and he must have 15, 20, or 30 rows in turnip greens.
Hmm.
And we passed there this morning, and I said to Faye, let's get out. Them things is growing. Let's get out and see what's over there. I couldn't tell what there was. And we got up there, and they were just as fresh as they could be.
Well, I got me a garden place all fixed, all putting a fence around it, and I'm going to have me a well put down and buy me another little pump.
Now, wait a minute. Now, say that again. You got you another place fixed?
Mm-hmm. Got it all broke up.
Yeah.
And Marvin's got the post and the wire down there to fence it off.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get me a well put down there and have me a little irrigation system.
Oh, down there at your water hole.
It's between here and the water hole. And Marvin's already got it broke up because he's going over it two or three more times before we plant the garden if he can get the gas.
If he can get the gas.
If he can get the gas.
Yeah. And you going to put a well in?
Yeah, I'm going to have me a well put down there, and I'm going to get me another little motor and put down there. And you can't raise nothing unless you got water.
You might as well. You're wasting your fertilizer.
That's right. And we got this here little irrigation pump hooked up here to the house, and I've been watering. And I water my cows, and I water my flowers, and I water everything, a little garden from here. And I want it to stay up here.
Oh, you just going to, you took that over yourself.
Mm-hmm. So it is the dandiest little motor I ever seen.
Well, that's what I thought.
It is just something.
I would have gone on and got one at the same time you got one after I saw that, because it was working so well. Are you going to get another one?
Yeah, I'm going to try to. I'm going to have one for the field and one for the house. And that saves me a lot of electricity.
How you figure that?
Huh? How do I figure?
Yeah.
Pumping two or three kettlefuls of water a day for the cows and watering my garden out here. And my flowers.
Yeah.
All I do is just crank up my little
motor, carry my hose where I want it, put it down and run all the water I want to. About a, takes about a teacup full of gas.
I'll be done. Oh, it's going to save, oh,
it'll
I see what...
save on my electric bill.
I see, yes, I see what you mean. Mm-hmm. No, that don't take anything. That old electric bill's what adds up.
Yeah, me. And they say that they're going to add $6 more on our electric bill.
Well...
I don't know how we're going to pay it.
They just add never which way you turn.
And they say cow prices is gone to nothing. Just ain't no bringing nothing at all. It's on account of the feed being so high.
Feed so high. Feed so high, they can't buy them.
That's right.
They can't put them in the feedlot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you ever think that would happen?
No, I didn't, but you know anything about what happened. Anything nowadays, Bob would happen.
Sure looks like it. I imagine Ms. Dodd is, she got enough animals over there. She got something to worry about.
Well, I don't know about Ms. Dodd. Ms. Dodd ain't got much time for me anymore.
Well, she got too many animals, maybe.
Maybe so. Too many other friends.
Well, if she gets back into all that school business and such as that, she won't have time for anybody. Well, I just thinking about, I'm going to sit down here and eat some old no-count food here pretty soon, and I just want to think about somebody who's not eating that way. What are you all eating tonight?
I'll be careful, I know. I haven't eaten. Give it a thought. I've been mopping and cleaning up and not much of anything, I don't reckon.
You gonna have some greens?
No, I ain't got none. Nothing but a few collards.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I just don't like
them. Oh. Well, And you going to have some cornbread?
No, I don't imagine I will tonight. I don't know.
Well, you cook that in your electric oven?
Mm-hmm.
It cooks all right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, some things cook better in your wood stove.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it takes longer to cook some things, you know. And it's better to use the wood stove.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll be out there where it won't heat you up this summer.
Well, I'd rather hit it inside.
Out there in the porch?
I'd rather hit it in the kitchen.
But you're not going to have it in the kitchen?
Well, I don't see how I can on account of my fluorescent lamp.
On account of what?
My fluorescent light I got it in the top of the house. But Jack told me it would ruin my light if I put a fire in the oven. It would melt the ceiling around it. So I don't know.
Well, let me tell you, put a vent up above it. Well, anyhow. Well, I didn't know that.
I didn't either, but he told me it would.
Yeah. Is he the man from Sears?
No, Jack, he's the man that lives out here in the...
Oh, yes, Jack Wells.
That's right.
I hadn't seen him since that one time over there.
Well, you know, there's a long story to that. The house had to be inspected.
Yes.
And the house never has been inspected. And they didn't have down no cesspool.
Yes.
And they didn't have the house washed. And the man come out here and told them that they had to get out of the house. They couldn't stay there.
I never heard of that.
Until it was inspected, and they got out of the cesspool.
Yes.
And the house ward.
Yes.
So they left here and they went back to Orlando and just come in on weekends.
Oh.
And I don't know, Jack's son's children aggravated Lois so bad, and Jack too.
Yeah.
Till now, they don't want any and everybody to know it, but they staying up there at night, and Jack is working in Orlando. He's driving back and forth.
And staying there at night.
But they don't want nobody to know it, see?
Sure.
And it's too bad that a man owns something and hires it to be built, and then he can't stay in the house. But they told him that if they didn't get out, they'd quit staying there. Why, they'd go up there and take that light off of that meter off of that pole, and then they couldn't have no lights.
I see.
And the man was very nice about it. He told Jack, he says it's for your own good. He says, that's regulation. There ain't been nobody out as far as I know since. And that's been
so. Jack didn't make any fuss over it. He knew what the man...
Yeah, he knew what the man meant, and so he didn't get mad about it, but they don't want nobody to know they stay up there at night.
Well, he... Gosh darn. You've been in the house, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
Hell, that's a nice house. Jim Walter house. I didn't know Jim Walter built a house like that.
But the man that come out here said that house wasn't built up to standards. He said that house had to have some more braces up in the top. And you know where the house sits on them blocks?
Yes.
And them openings in them blocks, he said they had to fix that.
Oh.
He said that house wasn't braced sufficient on the inside.
Yeah.
And he said that Jim Walter had to come back out here and fix it.
Oh, really? Well, what did Jack say?
Well, Jack said that, if it weren't fixed right, he said it was their place to fix it right, because he had to pay the price for it, you know.
Well, Jack knows all those things. Why didn't he notice it?
I don't know.
Well, he knows all those things, don't he?
I don't know. He's just a plumber. He ain't no carpenter.
He not?
No.
Well, the way he talked to me down there, he knew what was going on, the wiring and the carpentering and all like that. Well, now let me tell you. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to you and me and Marvin and Faye going over here across the road and get us a bait of them kind of greens. And I'm going to tell the man if he misses anything, where he'll know who got it. And that's nice fresh stuff.
Yeah, but let's don't go in there. No, sir, let's don't go till we ask the man.
Well, I'll let him know. I'll take care of old Bob Becker, you know.
Did you know somebody shot my bull?
Your bull?
They sure did, one we bought last year. And I wish to goodness that whoever done it would have had to come up here and set up with him when he was so bad out. He had pneumonia, and we just come in one ace of losing him, and he's crazy yet. They shot him right in the head. But they didn't kill him.
But, what did you all do? Set up with him?
Yeah, we brought him up here. We hauled him back up here, and we called a vet. And Marvin said he had pneumonia, and I said, well, Marvin, it must have something caused it. And he was about dead when Marvin found him. Marvin brought him up here, and the vet told him what to do. Well, Marvin had some medicine. And he began to give him, he gave him 100 cc's every day.
Good Lord.
He just quit it. And then Zane gave him some feed that had some No, he gave him some more mice to go in some feed, and we've been feeding that. We feed him night and morning.
Yeah.
And he acts crazy, and I don't think he can see.
Oh. Oh. Is he up on his feet?
Yeah, he's up on his feet, and the vet, he was out here yesterday testing some blood. He come up here to test some blood for some cows that he had tested.
Yeah.
And he told us to get him back and get rid of him.
Oh, my.
That's the best thing to do.
With the price what it is now, they're not going to help you.
No, we couldn't afford to sell him now.
You can't afford to keep him, you can't afford to sell him.
That's right. Well, we're going to keep him and wait, hoping that the price will get better. I got some beautiful little calves out here from they Charlotte's.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Off of this bull of Mr. Hogan's.
Yes.
They sure are pretty.
I want to see them. All right, and we'll get some, just put that on your list now. We're going to make a little trip over here across the road and get us a good bait of fresh turnip greens. Mm-hmm. And I'll take care of it. Well?
We'll see y'all.
We'll see you.
Okay.
And that's the end of the 15-minute visit with Miss Mary on the phone this Tuesday towards supper time, the 5th of March, 74. This is about the end of Channel 1 Over and the end of the visit with Miss Mary on the telephone this Tuesday, the 5th of March, 74.